All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke, and chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And I want to read a few verses to you and then preach a message that I trust will be an encouragement and a help to us all. But in Luke chapter 10, we have a lot of things happening. And the Lord in the first half of this book is dealing with the matter of sending the 70 disciples out on a soul-winning mission. All right, he sent the disciples out earlier, but now he sends 70 out, the apostles earlier, but now 70 were sent out, and they are returning. So look at verse 17, and the Bible here says, and the 70 returned again with what?
Joy,
saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. In this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You get a little down, a little discouraged, just stop for a few minutes and think about the fact that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life and nothing can remove it. All right? Absolutely nothing can remove it, and that'll cheer you up. All right? I know that things are a mess down here, but everything's all right in my Father's house. Everything is all right. All right? Look at verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it pleased, or so it seemed good in thy sight. Verse 22, all things that are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Verse 23, and he turned him unto his disciples and said privately. All right, so he's not speaking here to the 70. He is speaking to the 12. And he says, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Now, let me see if I can help you with that last verse. Don't you think that King David would be thrilled beyond measure to have been in the service this morning? Huh? I mean, just think about that. David would have absolutely had himself a spell sitting in our service this morning and listening to the music and then hearing the preaching of the Word of God and seeing an actual invitation and having folks raise their hand to say, I don't think I'm saved, so please pray for me. By the way, did you all remember, I was telling an illustration this morning, and I said, I started crying out, help, help, help. Well, the security team out there about went crazy. They hit those doors. They said, don't ever do that again. You scared us to death. But anyway, all was well. But and they saw that once they got to the doors and looked in. But I scared them to death, evidently. But what was I saying? Something I'm sure more important than what I just said. But anyway, David, he would have loved to have been in a service like we had this morning. Abraham would have loved to have been in a service like we right here tonight. Isaiah, can you imagine if Isaiah walked in and I used one of his words from the book of Isaiah as a text and then launched into that text and preached a message and folks came and got saved as a result of it. You see, they longed to see. They knew it in here. They knew it was coming. They knew Christ was coming. And they knew what Christ was going to do when he came. All right? So that's what Jesus means here when he says they longed for the day. And where they could see the things that they prophesied of and the things that they preached about coming to fruition and the work of the ministry and the gospel in operation. If they had seen that, oh my, it would have thrilled their souls. So that's what the Lord is speaking of here. All right, now go back for just a moment and look at verse 21. And in verse 21, Luke tells us, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. I want to speak to you tonight on the hour Jesus rejoiced. Let's pray together and then the message. Heavenly Father, thank you now for the music and preparing our hearts. We look forward to that day when we'll all step into Beulah land. We're looking forward to that day when we see you face to face. But Father, until that day comes, I pray you'll help us to be diligent about the Father's business. And I pray now that you'll bless as I point out the things that made the Lord Jesus rejoice here in this 10th chapter. So bless now, we ask, and touch our hearts with your word in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord Jesus is often portrayed in the scriptures as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. All right, he is referred to often throughout Old Testament and New Testament as a man who was serious most of the time. There is, outside of this instance, I don't know of another recorded event that happened in his life where there was levity involved or where there was, a joke or something, laughing. You don't see any of that. The Lord is pictured and portrayed all through the four Gospels as a man who was very serious about everything. Very serious. And the Bible says, John tells us in chapter 1 of his book that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. You see, it was not always something that he had to rejoice about. He came unto his own, and his own would not receive him. He was rejected. He was maligned. He was mistreated. He was despised even of his own countrymen. And so very rarely do you see the Lord Jesus rejoicing in his spirit. And yet, we are told here by Luke that Jesus rejoiced in his spirit. Now, what caused that? Well, in these verses, we read something very strange, something very different. We read in these verses where Jesus was rejoicing. I did a little check on the word that was used here, and the word often means to be exalted. He was just not exalted, but exalted, you, with a U. I can't say it. Hillbillies can't say that. But he was exalted in his spirit, all right? Not exalted, but exalted. That doesn't sound right to me, but nonetheless, that's what I'm trying to say. So so the question is, why? I mean, he had a feeling of exaltation. But the question is, why? Why did he feel this way? Was it because the devils were subject to the disciples, to the 70? No. No, that's not what made him rejoice in his spirit. Jesus says, almost musing after they told him that the devils were subject to them, Jesus says, almost musing to them as if to say, well, so, big deal. The devils are subject. Listen, the devils, I saw Satan himself fall out of heaven like lightning. You want to know why he saw that? Because he's the one that drop-kicked him out of heaven. That's how. That's why. Yeah. And so so Jesus said, I'm the one that kicked him out. And of course, you had that kind of power. I'm the one that sent you out to witness for me. So he wasn't rejoicing because the 70 had a power over devils. No, Jesus rejoiced not because they had power over the devils or because they had power over serpents or because they could stand against their enemies and did not have to worry about death. No, Jesus rejoiced after the report of verse 17 and the rebuke of verse 18 and 19. So here they come back rejoicing, and look at verse 17 again. It says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. But then look at the rebuke, if you will. Look at verse 19. It said, or verse 18, he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power. So who gave these men and women the power? It was the Lord Jesus, wasn't it? Yes, it was Christ that gave them the authority. You see, in and of themselves, they had no power. There is no way they could have rebuked the devils of hell. There's no way. But the Lord Jesus reminded them that because he gave them the authority, the power, they could have a power over the devils. Now, folks, Jesus rejoiced after all that in verse 17and the rebuke of 18, 19, and 20. You see, verse 21, where he rejoiced, tells us, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced. Now, I cannot stand here tonight and tell you exactly what was said, but And that is between verse 20 and verse 21, when the Lord Jesus rejoiced. But you'll notice you got that little paragraph sign in your Bible. So that means that little, look here, that little two-line thing with the bend in the top of it. Looks like a backwards P with two sticks, all right? That is a note to let us know a new paragraph has started, all right? You knew that about your Bible, right? Okay, all right, some of you didn't. Good, now you know something. All right, you learned something tonight. So there's a new paragraph there, and I personally think that there was a little bit of time between verse 17 to 20 and what happened in verse 21. Now, I don't know what was discussed, and Luke does not tell us what was discussed, but it says that in that hour, Jesus rejoiced. Now, I don't know what was discussed, but I can kind of guess a little bit what happened. You see, in verse 17, and this is my opinion now, but in verse 17, these disciples, these 70, came back just almost bragging, you know, almost proud of themselves, rejoicing over temporal things. All right, you see the difference? Temporal things. And in verse 18, 19, and 20, the Lord Jesus rebukes them for being carnal. He rebukes them for being so temporal in their thinking. And then between verse 20 and 21, some time had passed, and the disciples gave their reports to the Lord Jesus, telling the Lord Jesus of folks that they won to Christ while they were out on their soul-winning endeavor. Now, I can't prove that, but I think that that's what happened, because in verse 21, it says, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced. Folks, he wasn't rejoicing, and he told them, don't rejoice because the devils are subject to you. Don't rejoice because of the temporal things. Rejoice over eternal things. And what's eternal? A soul trusting Christ as Savior. That's an eternal thing. So they came back rejoicing, and the disciples, I think, in between verse 20 and 21, gave their report. And when they gave their report to the Lord Jesus, he rejoiced. You see, in my opinion, the thing that made Jesus happy was hearing the report of his followers, of his disciples, doing the work of the ministry. The Lord Jesus knew it was impossible for him to reach everyone. He's got to have some help. He's got to have some help. And so he calls these, sends them out. They are productive because the Lord empowers them. They come back rejoicing, and the Lord rebukes them for their rejoicing because they were rejoicing over something temporal. And then they tell the Lord Jesus about their trip and how many folks trusted Christ as their Savior. And when that happened, I think that the Lord Jesus was filled with a spirit of rejoicing, and they all had such a wonderful time together. Now, that's what I think happened. Now, you can take issue with me if you want to. You have every right in the world to be wrong. I'm joking. All right, just making sure you're listening. But that's that's as I've studied this, that's what I think happened. All right, so back to the text now in verse 20. Our passage, I think, suggests two reasons for our Lord's joyful spirit. Number one, I think because he saw the ministry of the disciples. You know, folks, the Lord loves to see us doing the work of the ministry. He just loves to see us sharing the gospel with someone. I mean, up to this point, only the 12 apostles had done any kind of soul winning and ministry work. And now 70 others. And you know, as far as we know anything about it, there was not a preacher among this 70. There wasn't a preacher anywhere. These were lay folks. These were folks who heard him and followed him. And they were just average Joes. They were people just like you and just like me. And as far as we know, they were just ordinary, average people who went out on this soul-winning campaign. And for the first time, the Lord Jesus looked upon the successful work of a group of the rank and file followers of himself and rejoiced in what they were accomplishing. Folks, it is a significant fact that whenever the Lord's church has been content to just sit back and let the pastors do all the work, that the church through the centuries has faltered and declined in spiritual power. That can be documented throughout church history. And you know, the truth is that God's divine plan involves all of his disciples to be witnesses for him. It's not just the job of the pastor. It's not just the job of the assistant pastors. No, it is the job of everyone. We are all to be witnesses for him. I have said this to you from behind this pulpit umpteen times through the years, but I say it again. We will never, never win our communities with a paid preacher. We're just not going to do it. That's not how the ministry works. That's not how the church works. The layman is as much called to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ as is the pastor, the preacher. Now, Jesus sat and he listened to the 70 who had gone out and thrust their sickles into the ripened harvest and brought back their sheaves with rejoicing. And when he saw their rejoicing and heard their report, why, he rejoiced alongside of them. Now think about it, folks. Wouldn't you like to make the Lord Jesus rejoice in his heart? I mean, I think that should be the goal and mission of the church. I mean, the Word of God bears out the importance of everyone, the layman in the kingdom of God, doing the work of the ministry. Folks, can I remind you that Abraham, the father of the faithful, wasn't a God-called preacher, but was just a layman. He was a shepherd. Abraham didn't go to Bible college. He was just a shepherd. Now, God blessed him as a shepherd, but Abraham, the father of the faithful, was not a God-called preacher. Can I remind you that Joseph, the mighty ruler in Egypt, wasn't a God-called preacher, but was a layman. Just a layman. And look at all he did for God. Caleb and Joshua, who spied out the land of promise. You know what? Neither one of them were God-called preachers. There is no record anywhere in the book of Joshua that they had an ordination service for Joshua and ordained him into the gospel ministry. No, they were just lay folks. You know, they were just like you and just like me. I mean, that's all there is to it. You cannot stretch that any direction in order to make it appear that they were anything other than laymen in the Lord's work. Gideon, who fought so valiantly and cried out, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." Well, Gideon was not a God-called preacher. Gideon didn't have a diploma on the barn door where he was winnowing the wheat. No, he didn't have a degree from Bible college somewhere hanging there that he looked at every now and then, puffed his chest out and said, "Man, look at this, I'm so smart." No, he didn't. He was just a layman. Barak and Jephthah, who judged Israel and were mighty warriors for God. But neither one of them were God-called preachers. Mordecai, who stood gallantly when no one else would stand in the Persian kingdom. But there's old Mordecai standing tall, and he was not a God-called preacher. But you know, the Lord sure used Mordecai, didn't he? Spared the whole Jewish nation because of Mordecai's faith and strong stand. Nehemiah, who thrilled Israel by bravely rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Nehemiah was not a God-called preacher. No, he was a layman. And you move then into the New Testament. Cornelius was a layman. Aquila was a layman. Stephen was a layman. Philip was a layman who turned evangelist. Gaius was a layman. I mean, yet look at the impact of each one of these men. Look at the impact they had upon the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet their imprint is seen on the holy pages of the Word of God, and their power to bless and to be a blessing has come down through the passing generations. But they were all just laymen. And folks, that's who God uses. I mean, if we had to just depend upon five of us, if that's all we had to depend on, we'd be in trouble. When Pastor Ray gets up here and talks about some of our ladies going out, amen. We ought to rejoice that the Lord opens doors and puts divine appointments right in their paths. We ought to rejoice over that. Look again at verse 21, Jesus rejoiced because the deep, profound things of the kingdom of God are given to babes. To babes. You know what that means? To the average person. To the average person. You ever sat down, took your Bible, and started reading your Bible, and then the Lord, the Holy Spirit, showed you something in the Bible, and you laid your Bible down and then kind of jumped back a little bit and went, "Wow. Wow." You know what that is? That's the Lord teaching you His Word. That's the Holy Spirit of God enabling you to understand the Word of God. So the average person, to the babes, to the average person, to the little folks on the grand scheme of the scale. Just us lay folks, just us little people. I mean, that's who God blesses. And that's who received the power, the lay folks, to you and to me. You see, the wise and the prudent, they can't grasp the truth of God. They can't grasp that. Oh, they'll come in and sit down and they'll last, you know, normally about a service, maybe two, and then they come back the next week, you know, and zoom, just goes right over their heads. But you know what? They got more degrees than a thermometer. But they can't grasp the simple things of God. They can't get it. I mean, you know it's true. How many astrophysicists are in here tonight? How many medical doctors are in here? How many of you with a PhD in law are people say to me all the time, Pastor, do you know any lawyers? No. You don't have any lawyers in church? No. No. Well, can you recommend somebody? No. I don't know any. They don't have time for God. See, they don't have time for God. They're always looking for an angle. I wonder how lawyers sleep at night. I'll be honest with you. You know? You know what you call a lawyer buried in the sand up to here? Not enough sand. Yeah. Folks, I'm telling you, the wise and the hot shots and the big guys and you know all the upper crust. You don't see them hanging out in church. Who's here? All of us little folks. All of us little folks. We're the ones that's here, and that's the way that it works. And so when we, as common people, as average people, as little nobodies, and we know that we're little nobodies, when we realize who we are and what we are, and that we have been saved by the grace of God Almighty, and yet we go out and serve, God looks down upon that. The Lord looks down upon that and says, I'm going to bless you. And he does bless. And that's what makes us come back and rejoice, because we know that what just happened is not because of us, but it's because of him. He has blessed us. He has blessed us. You see, all of us average folks, we can influence this whole area for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, do you mean me? Yes, I mean you. I most certainly mean you. You say, but I'm a nobody. But God is looking for little nobodies to use them, so when the work is done, God gets the glory and not the somebody. You get that? That bears repeating, doesn't it? You see, when we are doing the work and God is looking for little nobodies to do that work, so that God can use the little nobodies, so that when the work is done, God gets the glory and not the somebody. It's God that gets the glory for it. And Jesus looks down upon the whole thing and sees his followers doing his work, and man, he's rejoicing over that. He's rejoicing. over that. But then secondly, I think the Lord rejoiced, not just because he saw the ministry of his disciples, but I think he rejoiced because he saw the blessing that the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ would have upon this world. You see, the Lord Jesus sat there, I think, with those disciples, all 70 of them. He sat there and rejoiced. And I think one of the things that was on his mind was he looked 2,000 years down the road and he saw little old hillbilly Norris Belcher standing up and preaching the Bible. He saw Will Allball standing up and playing the trumpet. He saw Karen and Paul standing up here singing special music. He saw Pastor Brian who went to a secular college but got a degree in choral conducting and music theory. Piano performance. Now he never plays the piano. No, he does. But can you imagine? Lord looked down and say, wow, man, since I saved old Pastor Brian, look at him. And he's rejoicing. He's rejoicing. Because he's the one doing the blessing, and Pastor Brian is the one that is receiving the blessing and getting the job done. That's real important. That's real important. Let me have you go back for just a moment to the book of Numbers. I read a verse the other day and it just absolutely thrilled my soul. And I want to read it to you. It's in Numbers 11. Numbers 11. All right, now, let's see, where is it? Numbers 11, and let's look, please, at verse 29. It says, and Moses said unto him, all right, now watch this. In verse 27, there came a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. Oh, no. Well, what are we going to do about that? So here they come, and they tell Moses. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my Lord Moses, forbid them. Forbid them. Don't let them prophesy. All right, question. Why not? I mean, don't we all need to hear from God? Well, look at verse 29. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Are you envious of these two men, thinking that it belittles me, that it takes away from my credibility? Huh? Is that what you're thinking? He said, envious thou for my sake? Now watch this. Would God that all the Lord's people were what? Prophets. And that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Hey, by the way, all of them. You see, folks, if the Lord's people, all of us, would just open our mouths and speak what we know, that would be a tremendous blessing right there. I mean, if we would just open up and tell what we know. And the privilege of the New Testament church is that every believer can be a prophet. Not a foreteller, but a forth-teller. That's a prophet, someone that forth-tells the Word of God. And you know the Word of God, folks. If I were to put probably 99% of you on the spot tonight and say to you, now I'm not going to do it, so don't panic, but if I were to say, come up here and I want you to lead me to Christ. We're going to do a soul-winning demonstration, and I want you to win me to Christ. 99% of you could do that. You know how to do that. You see, the problem is that we don't do it. We don't open our mouths and do it. And we should. You want to make the Lord Jesus happy? I think that he rejoiced in this meeting right here. I think he rejoiced because he could look down the road and see the multitudes, the unnumbered multitudes of lives that would be changed and transformed and turned completely around and used of God. Simply because they were doing what God wants them to do. Being a witness. Being a witness. And that's the privilege of being in the New Testament church, folks. I mean, not in the idea of receiving a new revelation from God. No, we've got all the revelation. We don't live up to the revelations we've already received in the Word of God. We don't need any new ones. I had a fellow tell me one time, he said, I got a revelation from God. I said, do you now? He said, yeah. I said, what is it? He said, you're to let me preach tonight. Right back there that happened. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, I tell you what, bud, have a seat. And right there where Miss Carol is sitting, I told that boy to sit right, that man to sit right there. I said, you sit right there. He goes, oh, okay. You'll call me up? I said, you just sit right here. He said, well, what are you doing? I said, well, when you say God told you that I was to let you speak tonight, when God tells me that you're supposed to speak tonight, I'll call you up. How's that? How will that work? And he sat back there and he kept going. Now. He even stood up one time and I went. Sit him back down. And finally, after about 20 minutes, he got up and left. You see, God didn't tell him he was supposed to preach. No, that's my job. That's my responsibility. Well, would to God all of us were prophets. Not foretellers, forthtellers. All right? Because folks, let's be honest, not every man is called of God to stand behind a pulpit and preach. Some of you, if I asked you to just come up here and pray, you'd pass out before you got up here. You would. If I said, come up here and preach, you'd be running out. I said, where are you going? Not up there. You'd be running the other way. But you know, we're all given a call to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. In speech, on the job, in the neighborhood, wherever we are to be a light, a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. On the street, in the store, at the gas station. You know, I've noticed, this is neither here nor there, but I've noticed this, and I'm gonna stand behind it, but I've noticed that the best advertisement the Church of the Open Door has is you. You know what? Let me tell you something, folks. We could go out here and put ads on all these billboards all the way down 140, advertising the Church of the Open Door. We could put an ad in the newspaper every morning. We could. But it would not be as effective as your witness. Wherever you go during the day. That witness is more important than anything else. Anything else. Now, brethren, listen. Let's make the Lord Jesus happy, okay? Can we make him happy? I believe he looks in on us tonight and rejoices. I mean, he likes to see folks coming to church. He likes to hear his people singing in honor and praise to him. I mean, he rejoices at the movement, and he delights at the activity that he sees in the local church. These things we are able to do today. And Jesus said the prophets and the kings of the Old Testament wished they could have seen and heard what we get to hear and see every week. Oh, I think David would love to sit in on a service. I think Solomon would love to sit in on a service. I think Isaiah would love to sit in on a service. You say, well, Isaiah's already here. Well, you know what I mean. The golden tongue prophet, not the golden haired. You see what I mean, folks? Let's make much of Jesus. Let's make Jesus rejoice. Let's go out of here this week and just make Jesus rejoice. Let him smile a little bit because we have taken his gospel and shared it with a lost, dying soul. Let's bow our heads, please. Oh, I hope you won't take this message lightly. I hope you will take the blessed opportunity that you have been presented with tonight, and that you'll do everything you can this week to please the Lord Jesus. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder how many of us tonight will say, Pastor, pray for me. God's speaking to my heart tonight. I realize that I need to make the Lord happy. I need to be that light and that witness. And I need to share my faith with someone else. And God's speaking to my heart about that tonight. Would you lift your hand and let's pray about it together? Amen. Amen. I got my hand up. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. Good. Thank you so much. Wow. Just this many people will go out and witness for the Lord. What a difference it would make. Father in heaven, you know our need, and I pray you'll bless in a great way what's been said tonight. All these hands, Father, I'm sure that you were rejoicing as you looked down from heaven and looked upon the Church of the Open Door and saw all the hands raised and the hearts that were broken for sinners. And Father, I just pray that we'll put a smile on your face tonight. And Father, help us to go out this week and be used in a great way. Father, I pray you'll empower our witness and just give us boldness to share what we know, what we've learned, and what you've done in our hearts with someone else. So, Father, bless all these folks who raised their hand tonight. And, Father, there may be somebody in this room who is not 100% sure that they're saved and on their way to heaven. And if that's the case, Father, I pray you'll speak to hearts. And may folks be more comfortable up here at the altar than they are at their seats, making the decision to trust Jesus as personal Savior. So, Father, bless us. We need your blessing. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.